من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد فان خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الامور محدثاتها وكل محدثه بدعه وكل بدعه ضلاله وكل ضلاله في النار اما بعد اخوتي واخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته يقول عن كتاب الحدود from the book عمدة الأحكام لا في سلسلة حديث of أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه likewise زيد بن خالد الجواني concerning the man whose son slept with the wife of his employer. And the judgment of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that the wife of the employer should be stoned to death. Likewise, the boy should be given 100 lashes. And also banished from the land. وعنه رضي الله عنهما قيل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الأمة إذا زنت ولم تحصر قال إن زنت فاجلدوها ثم إن زنت فاجلدوها ثم إن زنت فاجلدوها ثم ذيهوها ولو ببطير قال ابن شهاب ولا أدري عبادة الثالثة أو الرابعة وعنه رضي الله عنهما قال May Allah be pleased with both of them, they said, that he, Abu Hurairah and Zayd bin Khalid Juwani, now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet was asked concerning Al-Amma, a slave girl, Iza zanat wa lam tuhsan, if she commits zina wa lam tuhsan, and she's not married. A slave girl may be married and she may not be married. You know, Islam or the Quran does not encourage somebody who is a free man to marry a slave girl. Because when a free man marries a slave girl, whatever child born by that slave girl is also a slave to her master. So it's like the man has wasted a seminal field. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discourages in the Quran, except for those amongst us who do not have the ability to marry al-muhsanat, al-mu'minat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ مِنْكُمْ طَوْلًا أَنْ يَنْكِحَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ فَمِمَّا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ مِنْ فَتَيَاتِكُمُ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. To the end of the verse. So whoever does not have the ability to marry from among the Muhsanat, The Muhsanat here is not dependent as a Muhsana yet. Because in Islam, when we say Muhsana, Muhsana can mean somebody who is chaste. And Muhsana can also mean somebody who is married. All this is clear. So it is the context that will let us understand the Muhsana that is being effective. What I'm trying to establish is that what a slave girl can be married. But when a slave girl is being married, it's better that the one who marries a slave girl should also be what? A slave. If a master marries her, that is also what? That is good. Because that means what? Whatever child she gives birth to belongs to the master. And for her to have given birth to a child for the master, that in Islam, according to the stronger opinion, makes it haram for the master to also watch to sell her. Because of what? Because of the child. But for a woman or a slave girl to get married to a free person, that means whatever child she has goes to the master, not to the free man. All this is clear. So, it's an advantage when a slave girl now commits zina. A slave girl that belongs to another person commits zina. Well, I'm too fun and she's not what? Married. Call in zanat fajbeduha. The Messenger of Allah said, if she commits zina, fajbeduha. Give her lashes. So my zanat, if she commits zina again, fajbeduha. Give her lashes. So my zanat, if she commits zina again, fajbidu, I give her lashes. Thumma bi'uha, if she commits zina again, send her away. While the dafir, even if it is with what? With the rope. Now, here it was asked, walam tuhsan, and she's not what? Married. What if a slave girl is married and she commits zina? Does the ruling change? The truth is that what the ruling remains the same thing. A slave girl is not stoned to death. Unlike what a free born or a free woman. If she is married, she should be what? Stoned to death. If she is not married, she should be given how many? 100 lashes, as you have read. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالْزَانِيَةَ وَالْزَانِي فَاجْلِدُوا كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِنْهُمَا مِئَةَ جَلْدَةٍ وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِإِمَارَاتٍ لِدِينِ اللَّهِ. So they should be given 100 lashes. This is if the girl is not what? It's not married. But if she's married, the punishment is that she should be stoned to death. And when we say somebody is married, whether the person is what is under a man now, or she was married before but now she's not under any man. As long as she has been previously married, the ruling is that what? She should be stoned to death. The same thing is applicable to the man who has previously married a woman but maybe he has divorced her. But presently maybe he doesn't have any wife with him. In our community, the ruling in Islamic society is that such a man should be stoned to death. Obviously. So, if a slave now commits zina, the punishment of a slave that commits zina is that she will not be stoned to death. She will be given lashes. She will be given what? Lashes, not. That's what should be shown to them. Who can tell us the reason why? Why won't a slave that is married
Now, if she's not married, you say what? She'll be given lashes, just like the free woman that is not married, or the free man that is not married, whether previously or presently. So, given them lashes, this is understood. But the one who is married, that is the slave girl that is married, what will be her own fate? Is it 50 lashes? Or is it lashes? Or she should be stoned to death? We said, whether marriage or not marriage, the ruling is what? Lashes. So the word used here, while I'm talking son, is just to explain a particular situation. That is, a slave girl that is what? That is not married. If she commits zina, the ruling is that what? She should be given lashes. This is understood. But if she's married, one would expect to say what? She should be stoned to death. But when you go back to the Quran, Allah said what? فَإِذَا أَحْصَنَّ فَعَلَيْهِنَّ نِصْفُ مَا عَلَى الْمُحْصَنَاتِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ. فَإِذَا أَحْصَنَّ is the marriage. فَعَلَيْهِنَّ نِصْفُ مَا عَلَى الْمُحْصَنَاتِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ. What is upon there is half of the punishment that is upon the muhsanat. Now the muhsanat, the ruling is that what? They should be stoned to death. How are you going to what? To devise stoning to death? How are you going to have it? So, and that's why the ruling is that what? They will be given lashes as well. But the lashes here is what? Is 50 lashes, not 100 lashes. How this is clear? The lashes there were 50 lashes, not 100 lashes. You know when Allah said what? وَالْظَانِيَا تُوَالْظَانِي فَرْجْ يُدُوُ هُمَا مِئَةَ جَلْدَةٍ. This is if both of them are what? Free. But if they are slaves, it is worth 50 lashes. How this is clear? So, فَعَلَيْهِنَّ نِسْفُ مَعَلَى الْمُحْصَنَاتِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ. So it is half of what is upon the muhsanat that will be upon them. So the muhsanat here is marriage. And another place, muhsanat in the Quran, they mean what? Church. As Allah said, muhsanat ghayra musafihat. Muhsanat here means what? Church, not musafihat, those who are committing zina. But in this context, the muhsanat that is being referred to here is marriage, not church. Because someone who is church will not commit what? Zina. So, فَعَلَيْهِنَّ نِسْفُ مَعْلَى الْمُحْصَنَاتِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ. So, and that's why a slave will not be sold to death, whether married or not married. I ask why? Can any person tell us the reason why a slave will not be sold to death? Nobody. Okay. Yes, this is the answer. This is because the slave is another person's property. So if he commits or she commits zina and he wants to stone him or her to death, that means the owner, we are denying of what? Of his property. So you'll be losing that person, and that's why the punishment is restricted to what? To give him lashes. So this is the reason that the scholars have brought to justify this ruling. The Khawarij, they use the hadith, the verb, فَإِذَا حُسَنَّا فَعَلَيْهِنَّا نِسْتُمْ عَلَى الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْعَذَابِ. So there is no stoning today in Islam. Because Allah said, فَعَلَيْهِنَّ نِسْفُ مَعْلَى الْمُحْصَنَاتِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ. They should be given half of the punishment of the marriage. So which means that what's turning to there shouldn't be the punishment of the married women who commit zina. What should be their punishment is 100 lashes that you have in Surah 2 and Nur. وَالْزَانِيَةُ وَالْزَانِي فَجْلِدُوْمَ فِيَةَ جَلْزَةً. So whether married or not married, the punishment is what? Given 100 lashes. And they back their claim with what? With this one, إِنَّ نِسْمَ عَلَى الْمُحْصَنَاتِ مِنَ الْعَذَبِ. This is the opinion of the Khawarij. And it is against the Ijma of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It's against the practice of the companions. And that's why Umar radiallahu anhu said in authentic hadith which contains in Bukhari that a time will come that some people will be saying what? There is no rajmi. They will be going against the farid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his book, which we have read in the Quran and what we have memorized. Umar said, if not for the fear that some people will say what Umar has added to the book of Allah, I would have said that what the ayah should continue to be recited. But as we said, that in the Quran you have verses that are what? Mansukhatu abtilaw. You don't recite them anymore. And as well, they are mansukhatu hukm. The ruling is also not existing. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that part of what was revealed is that Ashru Rada'at, 10 Sokins, Yuharrimna. They make somebody a mahram to the woman that has suckled the baby. She said, later, this was reduced to what? Khamsun Ma'lumat. 5. Now the 10 suckling, if you share the Quran from Surah to Fatiha to Surah to Nas, you can't find where Allah mentioned what? Ashru or Ra'at. So it has been abrogated in citation. The ruling has also been abrogated to 5 sucklings. Now pick up the Quran, bring out where you can find what? 5 sucklings. You can't find it. But the ruling is what? It still exists. And that's why it is said, according to what? According to the most correct opinion, when a woman suckles a baby or a child 5 times, 5 sucklings, that child becomes a mahram of her. But this ruling is established, but you can't find it in the Quran. So this they will say what? It is mansukha fi tilawa, but it is what? It is sabita fil hukm. The ruling is there, but the tilawa is no more there. Then there is one that watch, the tilawa will be there. The tilawa will be there, but the ruling is what? The ruling is abrogated. And they will give you an example of the elder to be done by a woman who uses her husband. In the third chapter, you see what? A year. And you see what? You see 4 months, 10 days. 4 months, 10 days, abrogated out of what? A year. As you have it in the hadith. So both of them are recited. But part of a year is no more what? The ruling is no more applicable. But the citation is still there. That of Zina, in the person is the Mufana. Umar radiallahu anhu said this was a verse of the Quran, only it has what? It has been abrogated. What was abrogated? The recitation. But the only is what? It's still here. Just like the Khamsu Ma'lumat. Which ruling is what? It's still here. But the citation is what? This is what the statement of Umar. Apart from this, we have what? A lot of ahadith that the Prophet Allah Salaam told to that the married men or married women. So we'll not worry all these ahadith, not stick to what So the understanding that for عَلَيْهِنَّ رِسْكُمْ عَلَى الْمَحْصَنَاتِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ, because this will be what? A deduction. When we have clear evidences of stoning to death, that's when we don't take these clear evidences. We stick to what? We stick to what you understand from the verse. And that's why scholars will say that al-mantuq muqaddamun ala al-mafhum. What is mentioned clearly takes precedence over what is what? Understood. Let's say, for instance, somebody says, the people of so and so state are lazy. Then there is a person who comes from that particular state, now has a statement, so and so person is hardworking. The people of so and so state are lazy. It's a general statement. So and so person is what? Is hardworking. And the person also comes from that state. Which one are you going to take? Are you going to take for the statement the people of so and so state are lazy, or so and so person from this state is what? Is hardworking. So the same person said the same thing. You are going to take the watch, take the one that singles out that person. Then you leave the remaining watch, the remaining to be lazy. But those that have been singled out, you treat them what? So when you are reading the Quran, you come across things like this. Because what was done yet was done before you read the Umar, me at a jail dirty. But done yet was done. Allah did not specify here that what? Married or not married. General statement. But we have what other evidence is saying what? Those that are married should be what? To be stoned to death. But those who are married but they are slaves, we have evidence, we implement what we have in the Quran. فَإِذَا أُسْتَنَّ فَعَلَيْهِنَّ نِسْتُمْ عَلَى الْمُحْصَنَاتِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ. So when we come back to this, it says, إِنْ زَنَتْ فَجْدَدُوهَا ثُمَّ إِنْ زَنَتْ فَجْدَدُوهَا ثُمَّ إِنْ زَنَتْ فَجْدَدُوهَا ثُمَّ بِعُوهَا وَلَوْ بِضَفِيرٍ. Then sell her, even if it was, even if it is with a rope, that is collecting a rope to sell her. Now if one tells her, is she not going to continue with the meeting that she's permitting? Scholar said, this thing to contain her. So if you have in a society where such a person can be maybe imprisoned in order to reduce evil, one may imprison her rather than giving her to another person, and she will be destroying things again. But the Messenger of Allah, when he said, "Some of you will allow the dolphin," he used to tell us that what? She is not something that is what? Important. And in Jahiliyyah, those masters, they will force their slave girls to commit zina. How? They will ask them, give them to people to sleep with them, and they collect what? They collect money from those people. And that's why Allah said, وَلَا تُكْرِهُوا فَتَيَاتِكُمْ عَلَى الْبِغَاءِ إِذْ أَرَدْنَا تَحَصُّنًا. Don't compel them to commit zina. In aradna tahassuna, some people say the meaning of in here is called aradna tahassuna. So they want to be chaste. Don't force them to be unchaste. So the ruling is that if a slave girl commits zina and she's not married, she will be given lashes, and the lashes is what? Half of the punishment of the free one. Even if they are married, the same ruling still goes to them. Wallahu a'lam. And Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu qal, ata rajulun min al-muslimin Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa huwa fi masjid, fanadahu faqala ya Rasulullah inni zanaytu
فعرض عنه فتنحى تلقاء وجهه فقال يا رسول الله إني زنيت فأعرض عنه حتى فن ذلك عليه 4 مرات فلما شهد على نفسه 4 شهادات دعاه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أبيك جنون؟ قال الله قال فهل أسقيت؟ قال نعم فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ أبو لي فارجموه قال ابن شهاب فأخبرني أبو سلمة بن عبد الرحمن أنه سمع جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه يقول كنت في من رجمه فرجمناه بالمصلى فلما أبلغ أشح الإجارة هرب فأدركناه بالحرة فرجمناه نعم أبو رضي الله عنه said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم was in the masjid. A man from among the Muslims came to him and he called him, O Messenger of Allah, inni zanaytu, I've committed zina. Of all those who are stoned to death, during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they all confessed. There was nobody that was caught by 4 witnesses. All those who are stoned to death during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they all confessed that they committed zina. And for one to confess that one has committed zina, this is something that shows the tawbah of such a person. Because if you are so decided, and you have kept this hidden from people, and say that what I will do tawbah between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And probably nobody would have known this. But during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some people, they came out to tell the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I committed zina and I want you to carry out the necessary punishment on me. An example of this people is this man, as we have it in the hadith of Abu radiallahu anhu. He said, inni zanaytu, certainly I committed zina. فعرض عنه the Messenger of Allah turned away from him فتنحى تلقاء وجهه he said the other times فقال يا رسول الله the man said إني زنيت I've committed زنا فعرض عنه he turned away from him again حتى فن ذلك عليه 4 مرات he demanded to say this 4 times. It is based on this that some scholars have said the one who is coming to the authority to confess that he or she has committed zina will have to repeat this 4 times. Because what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said is that what? We should establish 4 witnesses. So if you are unable to establish 4 witnesses, he said what? You should not take the shahada of those people. And they are part of the code before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes I say somebody comes to the authority and says that he or she has committed a zina. This will be made to witness against himself or herself 4 times, just as this man did. For some scholars they say this is not compulsory. What matters is the confession of the person that he has committed zina. If the authority decides to make him repeat it 4 times, no harm, as the Prophet has done here, and if he does not make him repeat it 4 times, the most important thing is what? Is a confession. So, this man confessed, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَلَمَّا شَهِدَ عَلَى نَفْسِي 4 شَهَدَاتٍ دَعَوْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم فَقَالَ بِكَ جُنُونَ. When he made his 4 confessions, the Messenger of Allah said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
Are you insane? I know somebody who is insane. Punishment to be lifted from such a person. So the man said what? La. And said, in some report, it was said that Messenger of Allah, who sent people to a tribe, his clan, to ask, what can you say about so and so person? At the stage, it's a sane man. Amongst us, somebody who is what? Who is insane. In some other reports, it was said that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also asked the man, how did you do it? Did you kiss her? Did you hug her? Did you? The man was saying, no. I did what a man would do with his wife by making the organ enter the organ. And that was when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then asked him, Fahal Fasinta? Fahal Fasinta? Are you married? Are you married? Whether you have been in marriage now or you have married before. Fahal Anam, the man said, yes. Fahal Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah said, Es Abu Bi Bar Jumu. Take him away and stone him to death. You know, Allah said, الزانيات والزاني فاجلدوا كل واحد منهما مئة جلدة ولا تأخذكم بهما رأفة في دين الله. Don't be sympathetic to them. Don't be sympathetic to them. If you really believe in Allah and what? On the last day. So do not be sympathetic to them. So if this since this is confirmed, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he will stay away with the man and stone him to death. قال ابن شهاب ابن شهاب said, فأخبرني أبو سلمة بن عبد الرحمن أنه سمع جابر بن عبد الله. أبو سلمة, the son of عبد الرحمن بن عوف, said he asked Jabir, the son of عبد الله, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said, كنت بما رجما. I was among those who stoned him. For a jannah bin Musalla. We stoned him at the Musalla. The Musalla here is the Musalla Janai, where was made for prayer on the Janai, the Janazah. Falamma afla fashfa al-ijara. When the sharp side of the stone, of the rock, when it hit him, Haraba, Iran. So the man had come to us to confess, but when he saw the severity of the punishment, Haraba, Iran, فَأَدْرَكْنَوْ بِالْحَرَّةِ, we ran after him, and we caught up with him at a place known as what, as Harra. This is a place full of black stones. فَرَجَّنَّهُ, and we stoned him there. Okay. A died. So the author said, Ar-Rajul, the man, Ismail bin Malik. Ismail bin Malik was an orphan who was with a clan. So he now committed dinner with one of the wives of the neighbors there. So when he was known, he fed back. The person who was taking care of him said, well, this that you have done, I don't know what to say. It is good you go to the Messenger of Allah and narrate the story. Perhaps you will find a repentance, a forgiveness for you. So when he went there, he said what he said, and the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did not have any way out. Other than what? Other than putting into to death. The author said, وَرَوَى قِصَّةَ وَجَابِ بِنْ سَمْرَى وَضْلَى مِنْ عَبَّارِ الْخُدْرِ وَمُرَيْدَ بِنْ سُسَيْدَ الْأَسْلَمِ
رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. So this is the case of Ma'iz bin with Malik. So he confessed and the punishment was carried out on him after the Messenger of Allah asking some questions, and he kept on saying, no, he committed zina, and the punishment was carried out. In some of the reports, after stoning him to death, people are now attacking him, speaking ill of him. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu said, لَقَدْ تَابَ, he had made a repentance. لَوْ تَابَعَ صَيْبُ مَكْسٍ لَغُفِرَلَ. If somebody who is taking a mask, somebody who is taking, possibly collecting people's money, if he is to make his tawbah, he will be forgiven. In one report, لَقَدْ تَابَ تَوْبَةً لَوْ قُسِّمَتْ عَلَى سَبْعِينَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ لَوَطَعَتْهُمْ. He has made a repentance in such a way that if the repentance is to be, distributed among 70 people from the people of Medina, the repentance will be what? Will be enough. So which shows that what? Somebody who commits something that deserves that he be punished in the Sharia, and the person is punished, the punishment is kafara for such a person. Now talk of the person that was not caught. It was he that came to confess. That is power on his own. Then the punishment was carried out on him again. This is what? This is an expiation of the sin. Allah is not going to question him on the day of Qiyamah for this again because he has been punished. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that man asaba min ashay'an fa'uqiba alayhi fa huwa kafaratun lah. So whoever commits any of these things, maybe theft or zina or so on, the person is punished. This is kafara for him. He said, man asaba min ashay'an, whoever commits anything of this, fatatara Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now covers him up. This was not known to the people. He said, for amru ila Allah, it appears with Allah. Insha azaba wa insha ghafara. If Allah wills, Allah punishes him on the day of Qiyamah, and if Allah wills, Allah forgives him. But the one who is punishing this world for committing that haddu, that thing that deserves the punishment, that is a kafar automatically. But the one who the punishment is not carried out on him, if Allah wills, Allah may forgive him. And if Allah wills, Allah may punish him for that on the day of. And that's why when Allah has said, in Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. This is the aqidah of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah. And that's why you don't tell somebody that is committing one crime or the other, or the one who is committing one offense or the other, that you are going to hell. Because you can't really tell what will become of the person. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not said that one who commits one offense, the person is going to dwell in hellfire forever. So for you to have the courage to say that. So one should not be overzealous. So the essence of sin was ata'anni al-Allah. Then Allah will certainly punish you. No. Because what Allah has said, in Allah alayhi wa sallam, wa yaktu ma duna dhalika. So all other things apart from shirk are what? Ma duna dhalika. But Allah thought, he will certainly forgive. He said what? Wa yaktu ma duna dhalika liman yasha. So what is established as what? There is punishment for one who commits zina, there is punishment for the one who commits theft, one who takes bribery, there is punishment for the one who kills, and so on and so forth. That is what is established. But the person may be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe because of what the tawbah that is done between him and Allah. Maybe because of what the hasanat that the person has that has watched, that has wiped off this failure for him. You can't really tell. And that's why the aqidah of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah remains that what? We do not promise anybody air for what he has got, for the offense that he has committed. مَا لَمْ يَفْتَحِ اللَّهِ. As long as what he has not legalized that air. To tell him the world will do so and so, this is what Allah has prepared for such a person. But the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the mercy of Allah, Allah may forgive him. But if Allah doesn't forgive him, Allah will punish him. So this is the aqidah of Ahlus Sunnah. So when Malik was punished, he was turned to death, and people started talking or speaking of him. The Messenger of Allah said, no. The man has done tawbah. If the tawbah was to be or were to be distributed among 70 people of Medina, it will be sufficient for them. So there's another case that happened similar to that of Ma'i, who was also stoned to death. A Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also made a similar statement. وعن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما أنه قال إن اليهود جاءوا إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فذكروا له أن امرأة منهم ورجلا زنيا. عبد الله بن عمر, may Allah be pleased with him, said that the Jews that came to the Messenger of Allah and they said, but a man and a woman amongst them committed zina. فقال لهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah said to them, ما تجدون في التوراة, what is in the Torah, what is in the Torah, في شأن الرجل concerning stoning to death. فقالوا, they said, what we have in the Torah is that نقضحهم, who will disgrace them, ويجلدون, and they will be given lashes. Messenger of Allah asked them, what do you ask in the Torah concerning what? Stoning. Instead of them saying what? Stoning to death is in the Torah. They said no. What is in the Torah is that what, whoever commits zina, such a person will be disgraced. And they will be given lashes. Called Abdullah ibn Salam. Abdullah ibn Salam, one of the Jews that embraced Islam, said to them, Kazabtu, you are liars. In Fiha Ayatul Rajm. In Torah, there is the verb of Rajm in it. Part of the Torah, so they went and bring and brought Torah, Fanasharua. They spread it, they opened it. Fawadu Ahdum Yadahu ala Ayatul Rajm. So as they were about to recite it, one of them placed his hand covering the portion of stoning to death. فَقَرَى مَا قَبْلَ مَا بَعْدَهَا. He read the verse before the verse of stoning to death and the verse after. فَقَرَى اللَّهُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ السَّلَامِ. عَبْدِ اللَّهِ السَّلَامِ said, إِرْفَعَ that, lift your hand. فَرَفَعَ عَدَهُ. He lifted his hand for his fi'a ayatul rajm. He was concealing is the verse of Rajm. فقال صدق يا محمد. He said, oh, he has told the truth, O Muhammad. فأمر بإيماء نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فروجنا. The Messenger of Allah ordered that both of them be stoned to death. قال, he said, that is Abdullah bin Umar said, فرأيت الرجل يجنو على المرأة يقيء الإجارة. When both of them were being stoned to death, the man was protecting the woman from what? Being stoned to death, that is, when the stones were being hurled at her, the man was trying to what? To cover the woman. So that the stone would meet him, most of the stone would meet him and not her. But both of them eventually, they were stoned to death. Now, when these people came to the Messenger of Allah, why did they come to him? Despite the fact that they did not believe in the Sharia of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were what? They were also living in Medina. The Messenger of Allah was what? the leader in Medina. The reason why they came to the Messenger of Allah is that what? They did not want to implement the fast of stoning to death. They now thought that what? Let us go to this man. If we go to him, if he give us fatwa that is contrary to what we have in the book, so we say what? Maybe giving them lashes. So we say, oh Allah, we have consulted one of your prophets. So it's one that gave us the fatwa of what? Stoning to death. So we did. We have escaped before Allah. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that what they have or they have in their book is stolen to them. So he asked them, you have come to me, what do you have in your book? So they lied. So the lie Mr. Allah said, no, you are a liar. There is ayah to Rajmi. Yes. Messenger of Allah knew that there was ayah to Rajmi in the book, but he wanted to ask them. So that you people, you have come to me because you are looking for way out. You don't want stolen to death. So this does not mean that the Messenger of Allah is asking them to judge with what they have in the book. Ordinarily, if they had come to them, to him, and what the Messenger of Allah wanted was not in their book, who would have what? Referred them back to the book. But because what was in the book is the same thing, or was the same thing with what is in the book in the Quran of Allah, Messenger of Allah, I fed them back to that book. Because the Quran is Muhaymin. It's what oversaw all the books that are what? That are preceded. So, you don't judge with what you have in the Torah when you have what? The Quran with you. And that's why in a hadith reported by Imam Ahmad, and a lot of scholars authenticated, they said that the Messenger of Allah saw Umar radiallahu anhu reading Torah. And he said, oh Umar, what is this? Umar said, it is Torah that I'm reading. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِي لَكُلْجِتُ بِيَا بِيْضَاءَ نَقِيَّةِ. I swear by the one in whose hand is my soul, I've brought it to you, بَيْضَاءَ white, نَقِيَّةَ pure. لَوْ أَنَّ مُوسَى كَانَ حَيًّا إِذْ Prophet Musa were to be alive, مَا وَسِعَهُ إِلَّا تِبَعِي. He will not have any other option other than what? To follow me. Messenger of Allah said, أَمُتَحَوِّكُونَ فِي آيَةِ الْخَطَّارِ. Oh, the son of Khattab, is this what you are wasting your time on? Why? Because the Torah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has made us know that they change a lot of what is in it. Allah said, يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلْمَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوَادِعِهِ. So how are you sure that what they are going to use as a law is what Allah has to do? So they've altered a lot of things. So that's why the Quran is muhaymin alayhi. The Quran will not be subject to alteration. If anybody makes attempt to alter the true Quran is always there. And that's why we have Ufar. Those that if all the copies of the Quran on the surface of the earth are burnt today, the following morning they will produce what? New copies. From what? From their memory. Offhand, they will produce. Because إِنَّ نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Unlike the previous books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّتِي يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلْمَةِ فِي بَعْدْ مَوَاضِعِهِ. So that's why you should go to the Quran. I'm not sure that the Torah that they have with them, that which one is the word of Allah, which one is not the word of Allah. You can't really tell. So you stay to the Quran. But Messenger of Allah referred them to Torah because he knew that the true law of Allah was Rajmi, and that is still in the Torah. They've not omitted it. So that's why Allah said, فَلْيَعْفُمْ عَلِمْ إِنْجِيلِ demands Allah to. The people of Injil should judge by what Allah has revealed in the book. Not that what the Injil is something to be followed now. No. You shouldn't follow any other thing apart from the Quran. But Allah instructed to judge with what they have in the book, in the Injil, concerning this what? This saying. فمن لم يحكم بما أنزل الله فأولئك هم الكافرون فمن لم فأولئك هم الكافرون فاسقون عن وجههم. So and that's why we have to understand these areas. The fact that somebody commits a sin or somebody judges with other than what Allah has revealed, that does not make the person automatically become what? A kafir, unless it illegalizes the judgment, or it says this judgment is the same thing as that of Allah, as the Jews were trying to do, or if you say this judgment is better than that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the one who does this out of whims and caprices, not because he says this is the same thing as the law of Allah, such a person will be what? Will be asking, will be a sinner. And that's why scholars say, the one who commits sinner, is he judging by what Allah should do or other than what Allah should do? Huh? Other than what Allah should do? Because Allah said what? Wala taqrabu zina. And if this person is what? He's committing zina. Allah is asking us to go away from theft. This person is what? He's keeping. Allah asks us to go away from riba. This person is collecting riba. This is where the Khawarij came in. They said, the one who is collecting riba, the one who is what? The one who is stealing, the one who is fornicating, technically is judging by other than what Allah should do. So he's a kafir. And Allah said, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ رَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Yeah? وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ. For him is what? نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ certainly. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. So and that's why the Quran, brothers and sisters, you cannot understand the Quran when you go away from the teeth of the Salafist scholars. The Khawarij, they understood the Quran here to mean that any person who is committing a great sin, is what? It's a kafir. And that's why the new Khawarij, those who are following the path of the Elia Khawarij, they will also say this thing, okay, this ruler, they are doing this, no, they are doing this, they are doing this, they have established banks, they have river banks, they have done this, they have done that, they allow people to sell in public camps, they are so they are kuffar. We say, we agree with you that what, these things that they have done is what, they are things, we agree, but you've not gone to their heart to say what, they have legalized the thing that they are doing. So that's why you don't already say what you are kuffar. Now there is no doubt that all of them legalize. There is no doubt. Because you have to do what? You have to take a balanced position. Some people, they defend the rulers to the extent that what? If the rulers, if they find the rulers committing shirk, they say what? They still look for excuse for it. Something that is plain that it is kufru, they're still looking for excuse. No, it is not up to that level. At the same time, not to the level of the Khawarij, that if a ruler does the slightest thing, it is a kafir. So we have to maintain a balanced position on this issue. So the Jews, Messenger of Allah, other than they should be told to the death when the both committed zina, and it's not just what those people wanted, that maybe they should be given lashes and placed on camel's back, blacking their face, and now carry them around the town. Then after that, giving them lashes. This was not accepted by the Messenger of Allah. So most of them are muhsanat, they are married. Most of them are Muhsan and Muhsana, they are married, making up a lot of that, they be soon to get.
Now in a situation where we have, in a society, we have Muslims who are below Muslims. So they will be allowed to practice their own religion, just as the Messenger of Allah allowed the Jews to practice their religion in Medina. But if the Muslims were those who are in control of the town, and in control of the state, they will be given conditions to operate. Their operation will not be in such a way that will affect the ibadah of the believers. But for them to be forced to embrace the religion of Islam, no, la ikraha, the deen. So this is when you are in an Islamic society, where we have minority who are non-Muslims, Christians or Jews, to be allowed to practice their religion. Like in Egypt, for instance, the non-Muslims there, the Christians, the Copts, they'll be allowed to practice their religion, ordinary religion. Then what should be in operation should be what? Sharia. Because the Christians in Egypt, they are what? Just 5% or so. They will claim they are about 10%, but not up to 10%, just about 5%. So for the 5% not to be able to practice their religion, this is what something that is happening. You now see people now saying, showing what, say, okay, we want to, the draft constitution, maybe yes or no. What is in the draft constitution? The article 2 of it is just that what, maybe the Mabadi Sharia will be the Mazhar Ra'isi. The principle of the religion will be the major source of what? Of law. This is what we have in article 2. Not that what, Christina should be told to them, she's married, or she's married, the one who, it's not married, or bed lashes. No. You can't implement this like this in Egypt, in a state where you have what? 95% Muslim. You can't implement this. So those who have what? Contested election and they are they are part of those who made the draft constitution, what is their rule? What have they done? The constitution produced is not different from the constitution during the time of Mubarak. The article 2 was there during the time of Mubarak. So, despite all the Juan Muslimun, the Salafiyun, despite all their contest, their participation in the politics, what have they done? Nothing. From that very, you bring it to Nigeria, you say, you want Sharia, you want to sponsor a Muslim to go to the National Assembly. So, do what? Instead, we'll be deceiving ourselves, let Muslims here, we have to vote for a Muslim. The Muslim that you vote for, forget it, he's going to commit kufu before he gets there. And when he gets there, he can't do anything. Because his vote cannot change anything. So he'll just be here, enjoying himself, collecting money, collecting salary. And after all, what? He becomes a different person entirely. And he says, mashallah, we have Muslims here. The Muslim that has destroyed himself. So if people who have 95% Muslims, they are unable to do this, despite all the referendum that they did, the liberals are still not contesting this, what is contestable in the constitution, the draft constitution. So if it is difficult here, my brother, don't disturb yourself, it is more difficult in Nigeria to say what, you want to Islamize the National Assembly or you want to Islamize. So you practice the Sharia in your house. Huh? This is where you should start the Sharia. When I say the Sharia, we have the Tawheed, oneness of Allah. Have you put this in your own mind, in the mind of your children? When you talk about transaction, how does a Muslim transact with no Muslim? Have you instilled this in the minds of your children? Are you transacting with people according to Islamic law? When you talk about the akhlaq of Islam, have you imbibed this? These are the Sharia that we are talking about. As for the Sharia of stoning to death, the Sharia of giving 100 lashes, the Sharia of cutting, chopping off the hand of, this is not in the hand of every Tom, Dick, and Harry. It is the hand of the authority. And when you cannot achieve this, there are a lot of Sharia that you can achieve in your office. At our places of work, there are a lot of bribes going on. We don't apply Sharia here. And it's not haram for us to bribe. It's haram for us to take bribe. These are areas that we should correct. When you correct all these areas, wallahi, our affairs will be okay. But carrying placards, we want Sharia, we want Sharia. This is what deceiving yourself. Because if it is difficult, there is no country you can point apart from Saudi Arabia, not Libya, not Egypt, not Syria, not Iraq, not Jordan, that you can point out what they are implementing the Sharia. That, and this will have what majority Muslims, 95% or 98% Muslims. Yet, the Muslims are divided among themselves over the implementation of the Sharia. And this is what will be the result. Because any person who does not have God fearing in his heart, there is no way we can establish the Sharia on the surface of the earth. One of the leaders of the Ikhwan Muslimun said something that Sheikh Al-Alban Rahmahullah Ta'ala would consider to be a very good statement. When some said, no, we want Sharia, they are destroying, killing people, one of them, Al-Hassan Al-Qudayzi said to them, Aqimu Dawlat al-Islam fi qulubikum, establish Islamic government in your heart. Tukum lakum fi ardikum. You have the Islamic government on the surface of the earth. You establish it first in your heart. It's because people have not established Islamic government in their heart, and that's why we have all this mess in the Arab world. And you see people praising the Arab Spring. The Arab Spring, what is the benefit from it? Nothing. Except what? The killings of souls. In Syria, now more than 40,000 souls have been lost. And let's assume that Bashar al-Assad leaves that place. Most likely there is another war that is going to break out among the so-called war, revolutionaries. Those who are waging war. Because this one is saying what we want Sharia, this one is saying we want democracy. Which one is going to watch? America started declaring some people the Jamaat al-Nusra or so, and then what? They are what? On their list of the terrorists, whatever. And these are people who are championing what? The revolt against Bashar al-Assad. And that's why when the scholars are telling us this, don't let us say what? They are saying nonsense. Now what they are saying is nonsense. What we believe to be good, when the reality comes, it will be clear to us. And that's what one of the scholars of Islam, Al-Hassan Basri, said, that in Arab fitna is the akbalat Arafa of Ulu Ali. When fitna is coming, the scholar will know this is fitna. Why the Adbarat? When the fitna of happens and leaves Arafa of Ulu Jahid. The ignorance of now is saying that if you had known, wouldn't have done it. But then you have destroyed a lot of things. Since the people of Somalia, since they overthrew the Anbar, up to this moment, they have not tasted what is in Somalia. War. And that's why the theory of Islam, or say the statement of Islam, is not that what? Rectify your leader, then Allah will rectify you. No. It's what Allah said, وَكَذَلِكَ and what he بَعْضٌ ظَالِمِينَ بَعْضٌ بِمَا كَانُ يَكْسِبُونَ. Allah will make the ظَالِمُونَ to be rulers upon the ظَالِمُونَ. So when everything goes bad, it's not because your ruler is not good. It's because you yourself are good. You are not good. Because you yourself are bad. If you are good, Allah will give you good ruler. But because you are bad, Allah will give you what? Bad ruler. That is the situation. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify our sins, may subhanahu wa ta'ala make our mistakes. So with this, we've come up with many ahadith talking about the law of stoning to death. So this is the reputation of the Khawarij and some of the Mu'tazila who took to this. So the opinion that what there is law, stoning to death in Islam, it is only given lashes that we have in Islam. صلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك
الحمد لله رب العالمين.
I think this has been explained. If the person is married, the person should be stoned to death. Now, we shouldn't look at the punishment as being harsh. We should take it as what, as a believer. Secondly, the punishment of stoning to death is to serve as deterrent for other people who want to commit something like this. When you know that when you commit sinner and you are married, you'll be stoned to death, people will run away from you. So this will serve as deterrent to those who want to do it. So we shouldn't look at it as being harsh. And if we look at the way we relate to people who commit sinner, somebody commits sinner with another person, so as we know the way we treat such a person. It's not stoning to death, it's marching the person to death. The Prophet a companion, I think that was Ravada, said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, so you mean if I catch somebody with my wife, somebody on my wife, I should be coming up with four witnesses?" Said, "Wallahi, I'll kill her for the year." And the Messenger of Allah said, "Don't be surprised at the rate of Sa'd. I'm more jealous than Sa'd, and Allah is what? More jealous than me. And that's the reason why Allah is forbidding some things. So what Allah is forbidding, you do not what? Go near those things. So just as you don't want somebody to go near your wife, you find someone with your wife, this issue of what coming up with four evidences, the issue is what? Forget that. I will deal with this person immediately." And that is what happened. But Messenger of Allah said, la, you can't kill that person. He told him, point blank, you can't kill that person. You have to follow the normal procedure. And if this is found to be what's true, this is a punishment to be carried out in Sharia. You know, the man who slept with somebody's wife, but he was not married. He was given what? 100 lashes, and he was banished. But the woman was stoned to death. The same thing if you look at what steps, chopping off the person's hands, don't say this is too harsh. Those who are saying this is too harsh, when they cross somebody sleeping, what will they do? No, burning. Which one is more harsh? But this is what the law of our Creator. You have to watch, you have to respect that law as a believer first. Then let us debate it. Come up with your own justice. Let's see. Those who are crying today, human rights, whatever, America, Britain, the offenses and the atrocities that they commit on countries, on states, are worse than what? Are worse than the atrocities committed by other people. But don't be the same people championing human rights is being violated, so that the government is not dealing with people who are, they are doing this. But they are doing similar things or something worse. And that's why as a Muslim, you should be ready to defend the laws of Allah. Don't be somebody who be apologetic, because this is what the law of our Creator. And if truly you really believe that this is the law of your Creator, you should be able to defend it. Allah.
In regards to marriage for marriage, what about the woman who committed? Because the woman is committed now.
Now, in the case of marriage, the case of the woman was not said. Though there was another hadith of the woman who also committed the zina, called the Ghanidiyya. This woman who committed zina was also stoned to death. And Messenger of Allah treated her the same way he treated Mary, asking her, "Are you this, are you that?" And the woman said, "No." So the essence that was, the woman said, "Aturidu anturabidani kamaradakta ma'idat? Do you want to chase me away, or do you want to interrogate me the way you interrogated Mary? I'm sure I've committed sin. I'm saying I'm this and that." And the woman was made to deliver the baby. After the delivery of the baby, she came to the Messenger of Allah, and he asked her to go and breastfeed the baby until she weaned the baby. And when she came back, she was ordered to be stoned to death. But this woman was not the woman that Mary committed zina with. This was another woman. And when she also
when there some people were also attacking us. Isn't it Allah said, لَقَتَابَتْ تَوْبَةً لَوْ وُزِّعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَ لَوَسْعَتْهُمْ or something of this nature. That she has repented, a repentance. If this was to be distributed among the people of Medina, this would be sufficient for them. But the case of the woman that Mary committed zina with was not mentioned. So maybe she was also stoned to death, or maybe she was raped. So there are a lot of possibilities which were not mentioned in the hadith. So the one that concerns us is the case of Mary. Allah.
Yeah,